People get ready, there's a train a-coming. Don't need no ticket, you just climb on board. All you need is faith in the Holy Scriptures. Don't need no ticket, you just thank the Lord. 2 weeks from now, we're going to hear these old gospel songs. Talked to John Colziel last night. He's leaving on a cruise, by the way, today. Anyway, he's coming with his good musicians from the cities, and I asked him last winter if we could do some old gospel freedom songs. He says, I know the perfect lead singer. She's the lead singer for Sounds of Blackness. I don't know if you know who that is, but they just won a Grammy Award singing with Elton John. So 2 weeks from now, 5 o'clock on Saturday and 10 o'clock on Sunday morning, if you're free, if you're around, that'll be a good service to bring your friends and family to. There'll be a traditional service at 8:30 on Sunday morning if you don't go for that good music. So, or if you're not able to come and say your prayers and we'll worship as well at 8:30. Thanks to everybody who helped out with Vacation Bible School. This Vacation Bible School, the spirit was really good. All the adults that helped, all the kids that came. I only heard one little boy cry. And that was Friday night at the last meal when he asked his mother if he could come back the next week, and she says, there's no Vacation Bible School. So everybody who helped out, thank you so much. I mean, that's a wonderful thing that we have an opportunity to do. Couple other announcements. Church Council seeking a new council secretary. Our present secretary had to resign. She's having a knee replacement and so forth. She had done it for 3 or 4 years when she was only going to do it for 2. It's not a hardship post. It's kind of a fun thing to do. One meeting, take minutes. You can... Actually, I better not... I'll tell you. Whenever I'm in an organization, I like to be secretary because you can write history according to the way you think. By a month later, no one knows what it actually said, and this is... in stone, so it's actually a good position of power. So if you're interested in having power in the church, yeah, good luck. Anyway, we're looking for someone to help out that way. I think the rest of the announcements are... Ditch. Oh, yeah, there were supposed to be ditch cleaning today. If you've got your snorkel, you can do that. Otherwise, we're not going to pick and clean the ditches today. Maybe Thursday if things dry out, so... So, don't worry about that today. All right. Let's begin with a word of prayer. Oh Lord, we gather each from our own places of residence or vacation, and we gather to think about who you are in our lives and how your Spirit has moved in our lives, even from the beginning. From the first breath we took, your breath of life came to us and you've been with us. Now we wonder how we can get along, how we can better live, how we can better serve and love, how we can squeeze more juice out of life. And so we gather on a Sunday morning, a rainy morning, and we pray your Spirit might move in us again. We thank you for our fellow sojourners here on earth who have like thoughts. We're not in this alone. And so we thank you for gathering us together. We thank you for your Spirit that comes to us. We pray it might awaken in us that we can see your hand at work in us and in our families and in the world. So send your Spirit, Lord. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. There's something else I'm missing. Oh, yeah. No one signed up for coffee, so there's no coffee. Go down to the Cozies or wherever you need to go and have your cup of coffee because no one signed up. That kind of takes the edge off my life, you know. I usually like to visit with you, but I can't today. So if you can sign up for coffee, there's a few openings the rest of the summer. And take a look at that sign-up sheet. Our opening hymn today is... 632, O God, our help in ages past. We'll rise during the singing of the last verse.
O God, our help in ages past.
rise.
O God, our help in ages past, our hope for years to come, still be our guide while troubles last, and our eternal home.
Please turn in your bulletins to the order of confession and forgiveness. We open our worship in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Let us be honest with ourselves, our God, and with each other, and confess our sins in order that we might receive the forgiveness of God and experience the joy of the community of Christ. God, we sin by what we think, what we say, and what we do. We continue to pull away from you, even though you love us with an everlasting love. Today in worship, we recognize our failures and our weaknesses. We confess our sins of omission and commission. We confess we do not love our neighbors as ourselves. We come to you now as brothers and sisters in Christ who need your power and forgiveness. In the name of Jesus the Christ, I speak his word to you. I belong to you as you belong to me. I am one of you. I know you. I died and rose for you so your sin might be forgiven. I feel what you feel, and I live through your life. I forgive your wrongs, and with that forgiveness give you power to change your condition as you live lives which are pleasing in my sight. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Let us pray. O Lord God, we bring before you the cries of a sorrowing world. In your mercy, set us free from the chains that bind us and defend us from everything that is evil. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Please be seated as we invite our friend Warren Samuelson to sing his praises.
This morning I'd like to sing a song. The name of it is It's Called Love.
Why did he go to Calvary? What did he see in worthless me? His precious life he gave my sinful soul to save. When I was lost, he came and found me. It's called mercy. And from my guilt he then unbound me. It's called pardon. And when he sees the way I live, and he can still say I forgive, there's only one way to explain it. It's called love. Oh, what a peace I now enjoy. My sinful past he did destroy. He'll do the same for you if you would ask him to. When I was lost, he came and found me. It's called mercy. And from my guilt, he then unbound me. It's called pardon. And when I see, he sees the way I live, he can still say I forgive. There's only one way to explain it. There's no other way to say it. There's only one way to define it.
It's called love.
The first reading for today is from Galatians chapter 3, verses 23 through 29. For Paul, baptism is a powerful bond that unites people not only with God but with other believers. Those who call themselves children of God experience a transformation that removes prejudices of race, social class, or gender in favor of true unity in Christ. Now, before faith came, we were imprisoned and guarded under the law until faith would be revealed. Therefore, the law was our disciplinarian until Christ came, so that we might be justified by faith. But now that faith has come, we are no longer subject to a disciplinarian. For in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. As many of you as were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. There is no longer Jew or Greek. There is no longer slave or free. There is no longer male or female, for all of you are one in Christ Jesus. And if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to the promise. The psalm for today is Psalm 22, verses 19 through 28. The congregation will do the bold print and where there is in our the refrain. But you, O Lord, be not far away. O my help, hasten to my aid. Deliver me from the sword, my life from the power of the dog. Save me from the lion's mouth. From the horns of wild bulls you have rescued me. I will declare your name to my people. In the midst of assembly, I will praise you. In the midst of assembly, I will praise you. You fear the Lord, give praise. All you of Jacob's line, give glory. Stand in awe of the Lord, all you offspring of Israel. For the Lord does not despise nor abhor the poor in their poverty. Neither is the Lord's face hidden from them. But when they cry out, the Lord hears them. From you comes my praise in the great assembly. I will perform my vows in the sight of those who fear the Lord. The poor shall eat and be satisfied. Let those who seek the Lord give praise. May your hearts live forever. In the midst of the assembly, I will praise you. All the ends of the earth shall remember and turn to the Lord. All the families of nations shall bow down before God. For dominion belongs to the Lord, who rules over the nations. In the midst of the assembly, I will praise you. Please stand for the reading of the gospel.
The Holy Gospel this morning is found in the 8th chapter of St. Luke, beginning with the 26th verse. Jesus' mission includes foreigners, and his authority extends to the casting out of demons. Some who witness Jesus' work are seized with confusion and fear. But the man who was healed is commissioned to give testimony of God's mercy and power. Then they arrived at the country of the Gerasenes, which is opposite Galilee. As he stepped out on land, a man of the city who had demons met him. For a long time he had worn no clothes, and he did not live in a house but in the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he fell down before him and shouted at the top of his voice, "What have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, do not torment me." For Jesus had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man. For many times it had seized him. He was kept under guard and bound with chains and shackles, but he would break the bonds and be driven by the demon into the wilds. Jesus then asked him, "What is your name?" He said, "Legion," for many demons had entered him. They begged him not to order them to go back into the abyss. Now there on the hillside a large herd of swine was feeding, and the demons begged Jesus to let them enter these. So he gave them permission. Then the demons came out of this man and entered the swine, and the herd rushed down the steep bank into the lake and was drowned. When the swineherd saw what had happened, they ran off and told it to the city and the country. Then people came out to see what had happened, and when they came to Jesus, they found the man from whom the demons had gone sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. Those who had seen it told them how the one who had been possessed by demons had been healed. Then all the people of the surrounding country of the Gerasenes asked Jesus to leave them, for they were seized with great fear. So he got into the boat and returned. The man from whom the demons had gone begged that he might be with him. But Jesus sent him away, saying, "Return to your home and declare how much God has done for you." So he went away, proclaiming throughout the city how much Jesus had done for him. The word of God, the word of life. Please be seated as we sing our sermon hymn 673. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Got a phone call from one of my pastor friends down in southern Minnesota. I asked if anything was new, and he says, well, last weekend he got a call from his organist, and he said, "I am sorry to tell you that my wife died last night." He said, "Could you please find a substitute for the weekend?" Well, I'm certain he meant a substitute organist and not a wife. A little slow today. I know it. Should I give you another chance, or should I try? And are you going to give me another chance? I heard a story about Joe DiMaggio back in the 50s. He was a famous speaker. Everybody loved him. He was scheduled to speak at a communion prayer breakfast, but his schedule got big, so he asked Phil Rizzuto if Rizzuto would step in for him. So when Rizzuto got to the church, the crowd hadn't been told ahead of time that DiMaggio wasn't going to be there, and they were furious, and they took it out on Rizzuto. And afterwards, the priest told him that it was the first time that anyone had ever been booed and at a communion breakfast. So his substitution didn't go, "I better just get into it," right? Wow, this is a tough crowd this morning. must be Bible school or something. We're all tired. Some of the churches that Paul worked with, they were a mess. And this church in Galatia was having trouble too. And I want to talk a little bit about this lesson we had from Galatians, huh? They probably would have booed a speaker at the communion breakfast too, just like they did Rizzuto. In today's lesson, Paul's writing to these Galatians, and Paul knew that they were saying, you have to adhere to all the rules of the law before you can be a Christian, before you'd be baptized. For all you guys, you'd have to be circumcised before you could be a Christian. They were adhering to the rule of the letter of the law. And that bothered Paul so much that he wasn't very nice, if you read the Galatians. He called them to task, pretty much. They were still observing the laws of Moses rather than experiencing the freedom that Christ brings to our lives. And so he warns them about any substitute that they try to put in for authentic faith, an authentic belief system in a God who loves them. And so he writes, you know, before the coming of this faith, we were in custody under the law, locked up until the faith that was to come would be revealed. So the law was our guardian until Christ came that we might be justified by faith. Now that this faith has come, we're no longer under a guardian. So in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. For all of you were baptized into Christ and have clothed yourself with Christ. Therefore, there are no longer Jews nor Gentiles, slave nor free, male nor female. But we're all one in Christ Jesus. If you belong to Christ, Paul says, then you're Abraham's seed and you're heirs of the promise. So if you belong to Christ, you don't have to worry about the law. He's troubled because there were Galatians who were still clinging to the law. In his own life, he knew how the law had brought him so much pain, following the letter of the law. In Bible school this week, I played the part of Paul. I could experience him living the law. He persecuted Christians. He chased them down. If you didn't believe like him, you were caught and beaten and crucified and stoned. He found it hard. He found it impossible to live up to the demands of the law. And he felt condemned when he tried to do so. He was still condemned. But Christ had brought him so much a feeling of freedom into his life that he couldn't ever imagine going back to that life. He'd been freed from his prejudices against Gentiles, his prejudices against women, his prejudices against people of other nationalities, other stations in society. He'd been freed from all of that, and it wasn't a burden anymore. And he wondered, anyone who had experienced the freedom of God, why would they ever want to return to the law or stay under the dictates of the law? And so he's telling the Galatians, accept no substitutes. He's saying, accept no substitute for freedom that you're going to find in Jesus. God loves you just like you are. And he loves you not. He's not just going to let you stay there. He's going to bring you along and he'll teach you and accept you and care for you and give you his power and his joy and his hope. But these folks were still sticking to the law. Okay? Now, I should let you know this. There's nothing wrong with the law. In fact, the law had served the Israelites well. It had given them rules. When the law was given to them by Moses, 1250 B.C., these were a million people out in the desert, and they had been slaves for so many years. They didn't know how to behave. They didn't know how to get along. They didn't know how to treat their neighbor. They had been told when to get up, when to go to sleep, what to eat. You had to ask permission to go to the bathroom. I mean, everything. And so there's a million people out in the desert, and Moses cries out to God, give me some help here. These guys are nuts. They don't know how to treat one another. So God gives them the Ten Commandments. He gives them the law. He says, if you follow these, you'll get along. This is a gift for you. And that served the Israelites well for thousands of years, for 1,200 years. But now, the law promised them that God would do a new thing in the person of Jesus. Jesus was going to be the Messiah, the Savior, the one that would take the law and put it over here and give you freedom to be who God created you to be. And you don't have to be something you're not. Anyway, so the only problem that Paul finds now is that there are those who had turned the law into a set of demands that one had to meet before you could be acceptable to God. And Paul's saying, forget that. That's not the way it is. That's not the way it's supposed to be. Read a the Week magazine had a book review of a book called Year of the Biblical Womanhood, written by Rachel Evans. Came from Tennessee. She was in a group of evangelical Christians down there, and the women were saying that we have to live the part of a biblical woman. So Rachel Evans thought there's something wrong with this. She couldn't quite figure out what. So for a year, she lived like a biblical woman, a woman in Jesus' day. Every time she went out, she covered her head with a scarf. She obeyed her husband. When the husband said, do this, she obeyed, she followed. In fact, the scripture says to honor your husband. So one day she took a sign and put it in the front yard and stood by it with her long dress and her cloak on and said, my husband Dan is awesome. Why don't you try that, ladies? yeah, right. Anyway, wrote this book and explained what happened. Regardless, whatever happened was the women in the circle that she was traveling with didn't really like that book very much, and the book was not a bestseller. There's always a tendency among many people to set in concrete values and standards of the past and to deny living in the reality of God now, because God is always doing a new thing if we keep our eyes and our hearts open. He's always active. And I wonder if what hasn't happened to the Galatians hasn't happened to some of us. That's what I've been thinking. Have we still listened and followed the dictates of the law? Do you have to follow the law to be a Christian today, to follow Jesus? I think in a different way we've substituted other kinds of laws. For instance, one substitute that I'm thinking about is scientific law. I know there's some good Christians that are, I call deists. They believe that God created everything, set the world with natural law, and kind of, God has kind of left us. So, but if you follow these rules of natural law, everything will go okay. For instance, Newton, Isaac Newton, sitting under the tree. Apple falls down. Aha, there's the... You're the scientist, Doug. The theory of gravity. Anything with weight will fall. God set that law up. The rule of force. If you hit you should explain it better than me. One piece of force hits this, the force will carry on in another way. Another law, I suppose, is if you pull my dog's hair, he's going to bite you. I mean, that's a law we learned, too. There's natural law. Some people think that God set up this natural law and left us to live under natural law. But if a doctor manipulates some of those laws in our body and we get cured, some of us might call it a miracle, but they will manipulate the laws to make us well. If God somehow takes all the natural laws that he makes and creates it so that we're safe, you know, so that a miracle happens, it's just following natural law. Some of us have made scientific law our norm. And I'm not sure. And they leave the work of God's Spirit out. Another kind of law that I think we've set up is what I call the sociological norm. It's always interesting when we read the advice columns in the newspapers, huh? It's there what we find out what's fashionable for society. For instance, I don't believe this, or else I travel in different circles, but I read a statistic that said 69% of all men have had an affair. Not the people I know. I can't believe it. But if it says that in the gossip columns, then everybody thinks, well, maybe that's a sociological norm and we can follow it. Or if all the women in your town are letting your 12-year-old daughters or granddaughters go to an R-rated movie, then it must be okay. Because no one's worried about it. I thank God, that there are some people who don't take their values from the gossip columns, from the norms of society. Our sense of right and wrong, our sense of duty and justice shouldn't flow from the sociological norms, but they should flow from a dynamic relationship with a living God who tells us and shares with us what is right and what is wrong, what is good and what is bad, what is acceptable and what doesn't work. I don't think we ever allow mob rule to become the substitute for that inner testimony from our spirit God, huh? So we've got scientific law, we've got sociological norms that are out there. These are only two substitutes for a place of faith in the living God. One more I should mention is that I hear a lot is what I call mood-altering chemicals. Might be another. I've heard people say, I can't make it through the day without my Valium or my drink. Or, you know what the latest is? Or my energy drinks. I got to get jump-started on the day. We're a society that is seems like stuck on pharmaceuticals of one sort or not. I heard a doctor speak a while back, and he told about his chemical addiction. When he was in a residency, he says their residency program should be changed because some days he was working 24 hours without sleep, 36 hours without sleep, and he needed a jump start on the day, so he started taking, I call them uppers, I don't know what the technical term is. And then he'd need to go to sleep, so he'd take downers. And it became a vicious cycle that he needed the uppers and downers to make it through the day. But then he finally figured it out that he was dependent upon these drugs. And it was destroying his health and it was destroying his attention as he worked with patients. And he found out that wasn't working. So he started asking around. The best model for him that he found was found in Alcoholics Anonymous. He found people who got off the drugs, got off the booze, and they had replaced the drugs and the booze with a relationship with a living God, and they changed. And he said he was the luckiest person on earth because he got off of the drugs. Chemical dependency can be another substitute. And there's one more I think I should mention. For many of us, materialism has become our primary substitute for God. Who needs a God in a world of iPads and smartphones and high-def TVs and spacious homes and luxury automobiles? Huh? It's difficult for any pastor to talk about stuff like that because in this affluent society, it's almost like I'm accusing people that I'm not. In fact, I remember preaching on this once and brought the point up, and one of the parishioners says, Pastor, now you've gone from preaching to meddling. Hey, you got that one, all right. But all this stuff we have, it becomes status symbols. And there are television evangelists. You go home and turn those on, and they'll say, you will be blessed readily and wealthily if you follow Jesus. And I heard a story before the Crystal Cathedral went down. A friend of mine went down to see the Crystal Cathedral in California. And you've all seen pictures of it with the beautiful glass ceiling and the sun that came out. Well, the day that they went there, it was raining out. And they had a few buckets out catching the drips that were coming through. But the day they showed it on television, they had the bright sunshine coming down and the music was great and everything. But here it was dripping inside, you know. And they say, if you follow Jesus, you're going to have this wonderful experience. You'll feel well all the time. And you'll be wealthy and have this wonderful thing. Well, it's a lie. But I can't compete with that. Us small country pastors can't compete with that stuff. What is it that Jesus said? You can't worship God and mammon. Maybe there was a reason Jesus gave his strongest warning to the possessors of wealth. Now, I've got to admit, I like nice things as much as anyone. I want my family to have opportunities that other families have. But I'm also aware that there are persons today whose every thought is having to do with money. Every important value is determined by how much the price tag carries. There are many of us who are in danger of bowing down at the altar of mammon because every conversation has to do with money. And like idols, mammon will never satisfy our deepest needs. Only the real thing, only God himself can satisfy our needs. As a pastor, I don't have the same problem that the Apostle Paul had in Galatia. Huh? I mean, I don't have to worry about most of you taking the Bible too literally. I don't have to worry about you women following every dictate of your husband. I know you women. So that's not a problem in Malmo. But there might be something else going on. It might be a scientific rationalism that some of us might have. It might be a chemical mood-altering substance that some of us have. We might be following the norms of society, sociological norms. Might be materialism that becomes our God. But over the long haul, in my experience, and I hope it's yours too, nothing will satisfy like a relationship with God. At the center of our life, we need God. It's the source of our life. It's the source of our strength. It's the source of our hope and joy and peace. It's there where you find real meaning and purpose. One last story. I was reading about Steve Rubel. He founded Studio 54, biggest nightclub in New York City back in the 60s and 70s. Anybody who was anybody went there, and there was booze, and there was drugs, and everybody had this wonderful, good time. That was in the 60s and 70s. In the 80s, Rubel said he saw the same people that were in his club in the 60s and 70s coming out of another place. It was a church. And they were coming out of an Alcoholics Anonymous meeting. I see that kind of thing happening again. There are people in all walks of life who are rejecting many of the false idols that our society has held up, and they're reaching out to God, a God who loves them and who cares for them and who gives them meaning and joy. Those other idols, they're inferior. There's no chemical, there's no beverage, there's no anything like that that can satisfy our deepest needs. There's no toy that you can buy regardless of the size of your bank accounts. There's no substitute. There's no substitute for the real thing. So I'd invite you all and remind us all, put God first in your life, and everything else will seem to fall in place. Anyway, on this 23rd of June, I'd invite you to think about these things. Amen. May God's peace and love be with us now and always. Amen. Let's join in singing our sermon hymn 732. We'll invite our ushers to receive our morning offering.
If you find someone to share your time and you join your hearts as one, I'll be there to make your verses rhyme. Son. In the middle ages of your life,
hold on. We're on the third verse, or third line of 732, okay? Third line. When you win, is in, and you shut your weary eyes, I'll be there. Have those days when things just don't click? I think today's one of those days for me. Are you feeling okay, you guys? Let's please rise and let's join in the offertory prayer and the prayers of intercession. I think we need God's Spirit to wake up in us. Let us join in the offertory prayer. God, giver of every good and perfect gift, we thank you for the daily blessings of life, for food and family, for friends and neighbors, for the gift of life itself. We give you thanks. Bless these offerings of our treasure, that they may be used wisely in your service. Amen. Rejoicing in the good news of God, come near. Let us pray for the church, those in need, and all of God's creation. Let's take a moment for silent prayer. Let us pray for the church around the world, that in every place it may find its unity in Christ and live out the gospel in freedom and joy. Lord, in your mercy. Let us pray for our home, the earth, beautiful beyond words and yet everywhere threatened with destruction. Let us pray for its health and salvation. Lord, in your mercy. Let us pray for the peoples of the earth, that where there is discord and oppression, justice may be done and peace be known. Lord, in your mercy. Let us pray for those who suffer, that the sick may know God's healing, the tormented may know God's peace, and the despairing may know God's hope. We especially lift up before you today our friends Ruth and Mel Hammond, Linda and Dean Newman, Carol and Ron Hass. Be with Mary England this week. Be with Dave Groth as he mourns the loss of Joanne. And be with those others in our life who need your healing touch. Lord, in your mercy. Let us pray for this congregation, that in this place we may proclaim the gospel without fear, boldly declaring how much God has done for us. Lord, in your mercy. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for your many blessings. We thank you for the wonderful experiences our children had this week in Vacation Bible School. And we thank you for faithful helpers, teachers, and all who are involved in that program to bring your love to bear this week. We thank you for the many blessings you have granted to each one of us, especially family and friends. Watch over them. Allow them to know of your love. Be with us as we fight this weather business. There are many who have lost trees, some who have been flooded out, others who are having other troubles. Allow us to trust in you and to remember your promise that you will never leave us nor forsake us, but you will grant us your strength and hope and love. Let us give thanks to God for all the saints, whose lives proclaim God's faithfulness even beyond the grave. Lord, in your mercy. Into your hands, O God of compassion, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your great mercy through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
Amen.
Let's join in the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and grant you his peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Go in peace.
To love and serve
the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our closing hymn is 537, On Our Way Rejoicing. On our way rejoicing, as we forward move,